Today on the Travel Guys. In the travel news, Uber is now okay at Sacramento International, at least okay with riders, but predictably not so much with the local taxi drivers. Today is our special timeshare show. If you are a timeshare owner or you're thinking about buying a timeshare, the next 45 minutes will definitely make you a smarter traveler. At 3:20, I'll play a conversation between Tom, Gwen Duncan, and I, three timeshare owners. Are we happy or sad we made those purchases? Find out at 3:20. At 3:35, Tom and I interview a reporter for a timeshare resale website. Did you know some people are literally giving away their timeshares in order to avoid maintenance and taxes? Finally, at 3:55, I save the best for last and tell you about a traditional library book that found its way home in a most unusual manner. As you may have figured out by now, Tom is off today, leaving just Mark to play. Thank you for spending part of your Labor Day weekend listening to The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
With the show. Welcome to the Travel Guys. It's Labor Day weekend. Travel Guys brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I am Mark Hoffman, and to my right is no one, an empty chair. Tom Romano is off today, so it's just you and I for the next 54 minutes as we try to make you a little smarter traveler. This is our special show. We've talked about this for a while. Tom and I both own timeshares, and Gwen Duncan, who appears regularly as a guest on the program, our Deal of the Week gal, also owns a timeshare. So we're going to share some of our thoughts about as timeshare owners. And then at the bottom of the hour, we have a really interesting guest who writes for a timeshare resale website. And he is going to share some of his expertise for us. And by the time you get done, about 35 or so minutes from now, you're going to know a lot more about timeshares than you ever knew. And if you go out and buy one the way you would have bought one yesterday after listening to this program, why, I'm sorry, I just can't help you. Lots of good news about timeshares. Welcome to the Travel Guys. Nice to have you along today. We have a really full hour with a couple of great interviews. I've got a great story in our Save the Best for Last segment about a library book that made its way home by airplane. So we'll tell you all about that. But first off, let's start off with the travel news. Sacramento International Airport, you may have heard, has signed an agreement to allow Uber to serve travelers. Previously, Uber could drop travelers off at the airport, but could not pick them up. The new agreement, according to Director of Airports John Wheat, gives customers an additional choice for ground transportation services at Sacramento International Airport. Airport officials say they have had talks about permitting other rideshare companies to do business at the airport, but have not signed any deals yet. Uber Sacramento general manager estimated the cost of an Uber ride from airport to downtown would be in the $14 to $17 range, a little less expensive than the regular taxi rates, which are generally about twice as much. However, of course, remember that Uber employs surge pricing during high demand times, so fares can suddenly rise and fall pretty dramatically without too much notice. And you don't have, there's no way to be able to know when that's going to happen. Consumers who use Uber from the airport will pay an add-on fee of $1.25 to $1.75, depending on the size of the vehicle. Uber will pass those proceeds on to the airport according to terms of the deal. Of course, taxi cab drivers are not real thrilled about the whole deal, especially a special group of taxi cab drivers. Now, you have to know how it works out at the airport. There is a taxi cab company, an association that has the exclusive rights to pick up at the airport as a taxi cab company. Now you've added Uber drivers, but the people who can't pick up at the airport are other taxi cabs who are not part of the organization that's out there at the airport now. So those taxi cab drivers are saying, if you're going to let Uber come into the airport and independent Uber drivers pick people up, why can we, as professional taxi cab drivers, not have the right to do the same? Also, of course, as you might imagine, local taxi cab drivers, even those authorized to pick up at the airport, say that this will likely cut into their business. And finally, before we get away from Uber, From the state legislature late this week comes a new bill requiring deeper background checks for Uber and Lyft drivers. Besides mandating the background checks, the assembly bill would prevent the ride-sharing companies from hiring or contracting with any driver with a past that includes any conviction for a violent crime, sexual offense, driving under the influence, fraud, or crime involving property damage or theft. That would mean about 700 people have lost their right to be an Uber driver just this weekend, according to the news update there. Okay, on this program from time to time, Tom and I mentioned to you that if you buy an airline ticket, you have a 24-hour window to cancel that ticket without penalty. Doesn't matter if it's a non-refundable ticket or not. Now, American Airlines has slightly amended those rules, and you need to know about it. If you buy a ticket within 7 days of departure, you don't get that 24-hour window with American Airlines. So if you buy a ticket within a week of your departure from American Airlines and decide a few hours later, oops, got the wrong date, don't need to go, whatever, you're stuck with it. You still have that 24-hour cancellation window with other carriers right up until the day of departure. One of the Sacramento's hotels had a bit of a change come to it last week. You may not have noticed. It was a little bit subtle. The Citizen Hotel has become part of the Marriott Autograph Collection of hotels. That means doesn't mean there will be a big Marriott sign installed on the building downtown. The Autograph Collection includes hotels all over the world, and it's comprised of many unique boutique properties. So getting the Citizen into the Marriott fold as an Autograph Collection hotel is certainly a coup for Sacramento. We now have a Marriott hotel, full-scale Marriott hotel, not only in Rancho Cordova, but another one in downtown Sacramento. Comes word from the TSA that they have signed a deal with H&R Block. You may have heard about this. Instead of just having two places to go in Sacramento now to be able to sign up for TSA PreCheck, you can sign up for it at any H&R Block location coming soon. There are H&R Block locations in 27 different states. So this will expand by about 20% the number of applications. H&R Block will also be authorized to do fingerprinting and the other things that are required as part of the application process. So if you are thinking about TSA PreCheck, I got that myself a couple, 3 months ago, just because I was being offered it on occasion. And it really is a nice convenience at the airport. And I'll tell you what, if you go to a major, if you're flying in out of Sacramento isn't so bad, but if you're flying in out of San Francisco or Los Angeles or New York or Chicago, and you're flying at high traffic times, why, then you really need to be able to get through security quickly, and this will do it. There is a charge for it. You have to renew it every 5 years, but it's really a fairly simple process. You can go to tsa.org and find information on it, or you can go to travelguysradio.com to find information on that or lots of other things that we talk about on the show today. And finally, the last note in the travel news, Alaska Airlines has discounted some of their travel awards up to 60%. So if you are an Alaska Airlines flyer and you book your award ticket by September the 9th, you can get a sizable discount on a lot of Alaska Airlines routes. You must travel between September the 9th and December the 16th. Some dates around Thanksgiving are blacked out. But also good to know that Alaska Mileage Plan members can buy miles from Alaska through August 6th and earn a 40% bonus. Now, normally I would tell folks if you're going to buy miles from an airline, that really is a bad deal. The deck is really stacked against you. But if you were very close to an award, particularly one of these discounted awards, and you could buy a small amount of miles that would get you that award and therefore get you a serious discount on the trip, it might be worth looking at. So if you're an Alaska Airlines traveler, take a look at what they have to offer and see if there isn't a chance there for you to do something to make a few bucks, make your points go just a little bit further. All right, let's see. One more item here I wanted to talk a little bit about. Those of you who connect to Wi-Fi when you're out on the road, when you're out traveling, you need to be kind of careful when you're out in major public spaces. Particularly, a little survey here was done about how the places in the United States, well, the places all over the planet that are the toughest, for the easiest for you to get picked off. Malicious networks is what we're talking about, Wi-Fi here. You've got time. This is just a list of the 15 that are the worst here in our country. Times Square in New York City, Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, the Las Vegas Strip, the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Stop me if you've been to some of these places. Union Station in Washington, D.C., Quincy Market, the historic Quincy Market in Boston, Disneyland in Anaheim, Navy Pier in Chicago, Disney's Magic Kingdom in Orlando, and Pike Place Market in Seattle. If you are particularly trying to connect to the internet in one of those places, be careful, because you may find that malicious networks will take priority over legitimate ones and cause you all kinds of issues when you're trying to, it may very well compromise your phone, your iPad, your laptop, whatever it is that you're using. There is an entire list of these, along with a list of some of the places that they found to be the most safe. This was kind of interesting. The only one in the top five in the United States is Great Smoky Mountains National Park. I would never have guessed a national park would be part of that. But Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the Great Wall of China, the Sydney Opera House, the Taj Mahal in India have all proven to be fairly safe places. So avoid free Wi-Fi networks when you're in a public area. A great percentage of the threats come from networks that have free in their name. Make sure you read the warnings on your device before agreeing to terms and services. And make sure your device is updated with the most current operating system, because that will provide you with the best protection. All right, when we come back from the break, we have an interview with Tom and Gwen Duncan and I. We're going to talk about timeshares. Have you ever been to a timeshare presentation? Did you sucker in for one? Do you own a timeshare? Or are you just thinking about maybe that might be kind of fun to own one? Well, we have some ideas on timeshare ownership in the next two interviews. And by the time we get done, I guarantee you, you're going to be a smarter traveler when it comes to timeshare purchases. This is Mark Hoffman in for Tom Romano. We are the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK.
Thanks for joining us. We're back. We are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And joining us is Gwen Duncan.
So, Tom, we're talking about timeshares and condos, and you're a timeshare owner, right?
Yes.
And I'm a timeshare owner.
Sadly to say.
And our good friend on the phone with us here, Gwen Duncan. Gwen, you're a timeshare owner too, right?
Yes, I am.
Yes. So let's see. Okay, let's just take a quick show of hands here on the radio. How many people are really happy with the timeshare that they bought? Let me look around here. No, I'm not seeing any hands have gone up. Tom, your timeshare is in Florida, right?
Mine is in Florida, the Viscana. Okay.
Mine is at a really cheap place in Florida also, Hilton property.
How about you, Gwen? What do you have?
Mine's in Newport Beach.
Now, Newport Beach.
Okay. Oh. Okay. So,
driving distance.
So I bought mine thinking I would buy the cheapest. I asked the salesman. I said, "Look, you know, I want all this BS. Just give me how do I get in this on the lowest possible level, and what are the benefits?" And the guy told me, and I said, "All right, this sounds like a good idea." And I paid, I think, $4,700 for 1 week in the worst week of the year.
Wow, you did get by cheap.
And now they just goose me for maintenance fees and rescue fees. When I can't go on the week that I'm supposed to go, I have to pay a reservation fee. And if I don't go the year I'm supposed to go and I want to keep the points, then I have to pay a rescue fee. And then I have to pay a show-up fee and a leave fee and a you-stayed-here fee. And are you guys finding the same thing?
Oh, yeah, I have. Gwen, I don't know about you, but we hear again we got maintenance fees, which have gone up. Let's see, I think I got this about 8 years ago, and they've gone from $300 to well over $800 a year for maintenance fees. And if you did the math, the particular week that I have, if you wanted to just go and rent it, you could probably rent it for $1,600.
And
I'm paying half of it already. And here again, check this out too, Mark. So I have a week every other year. However,
I
still have to pay the maintenance fee every year.
Oh.
And I called him up and I really got
so good, Tom.
Yeah, I really got it on that one. I called them,
the grab your ankles package, I think.
I think that's what it's called. I did call them up and ask them. I says, "Well, look, if I have it 1 week and every other year, then that means that the following year somebody else has it." And so wouldn't it be I pay this year, they pay next year, I pay the following year,
so, yeah.
And they go, no, that's not nice. I'm sorry, Mr. Romano, that's not how it works.
It sounds like both of you guys had a different experience. Of course, the most confusing thing for me is using my points, because I converted it to points so I could have the flexibility of staying one night or 3 weeks.
Right.
And it's a confusing to do that. And our
but you lose value when you do that. I mean, it's like taking your American Airlines points and buying something out of the catalog on the plane. You know, the value you get for that, every time that they get you to exchange the points or do something, they're either extracting money from you or you're losing value somewhere along the way. You're moving from your property to another property, and you're only getting 5 nights there where you had 7 nights at the other place, because your points aren't quite worth quite as much over when you leave your home property. And there are just Gwen, have you had a you, how many have you do you stay at yours? I mean, you know, if somebody offered you a reasonable price, would you sell it?
We haven't been staying at our home resort only twice, and we've traded them around. And my problem at the beginning, before we went to Points, was that I paid for a two-bedroom. I'm going to get a two-bedroom, and they're not going to offer me a studio or one-bedroom for the price that I paid for two. And so I would always have to take a two-bedroom if it was just Ron and I going. So I figured, this doesn't work. So we switched to Points, and now we can stay in a studio all the way up to a three-bedroom. Stay as long as we want, and it's worked out a lot better for us. But I had to make that change because I was unhappy, you know. And once I made that change, there's so much more flexibility, you know. But it's hard to use all the points.
Same question to you, Mark. Have you used your how much time have
I have.
You spent at your
resort? I've been to the home resort once, but I didn't buy it for the home resort. I bought it for just to get in cheap. And then I must have lost my mind that day, because as a travel industry person, I have access generally to room rates and stuff that if I dig a little bit, you know, usually I can get a fairly good deal. And so I don't need the other connection that these guys provided me to low room rates and stuff. And guess what? The low room rates are not available in New York and some of the other places that are peak during peak times and stuff like that. And they run you around, and it is a bait and switch like I cannot believe. And you know, over there in Hawaii, one of the guy who sold to me, I asked him, I said, what is the conversion rate here? And he said, we get about 15%. So that means that roughly one out of every seven people who goes to one of those sucker things buys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things I think people should also be aware, I'm purchasing a piece of property. I own this 1 week every other year, whatever it may be. It could be several thousand dollars. And you think, well, okay, since I'm an owner, there will be some opportunities for some tax deductions. Well, beware. you even your maintenance fees are not tax deductible. It's not the same as owning a home and having a mortgage interest and that kind of thing. So buyer beware. If you think that perhaps there's going to be some tax advantages, check with your tax attorney. Not true. If you're just joining us, we are the Travel Guys every Sunday at 3 here on KFBK and at TravelGuysRadio.com.
We've got a guest coming on with us later in the program here, a gentleman who is a writer for a resale and rental website. And to Tom's point, I think I kind of agree with him, because I buy hotel rooms for tours all the time. You can go and stay in a comparable hotel accommodation, maybe not a two-bedroom suite, but in a nice expanded upscale room in these destinations. And by the time you figure what you're paying for maintenance fees and property taxes and all of these other things that are happening and all these other fees that are worked in, it's, would you guys not agree, it's about the same price?
It is.
Yeah, and it's stressful too.
That's as well. You know, let me chime in with one particular advantage of, and here again, since I bought a Sheraton property, one of the things that they did in the sale was they threw a whole bunch of SPG points at me, like a 600.
Oh, yeah.
So I got like 640,000 points, which meant
they dangled a carrot.
They did, and I really, really took advantage of that, because that gave us the opportunity to stay at any of their properties for no charge for a couple of years, about everywhere everywhere we went, we were on board until we pretty much used them up. But the other thing is this, is if you have family members, and let's say if you're not necessarily you're going to go, if you would really like to gift once in a while to people something extremely special, if you own a timeshare, the opportunity to, and especially if you set it up properly, to give, you know, maybe not the whole week, but three or four nights, you can give that as a gift. And that was very satisfying to me. I didn't use it, but I was able to gift it. I gifted both my daughters their honeymoon vacations, one in Hawaii and one in Florida. And so, you know, that has value.
I think it's really nice. And I did that for my grandson. So, yes, you're right. You're right.
But again, not to be the, you know, the fly in the ointment here,
here it comes.
You could have bought the same vacation and probably, and put them up in a nice hotel. And to the point we made earlier, Gwen, any final thoughts on timeshares and what they bring to the table?
Well, when we bought ours, our thought was we bought two of them. Very worse. We bought two bedroom units, one for each of our kids. Thinking, oh, we'll give them one if anything happened to us. We'd give one to each one of them. Do you think they're going to want one when they have to pay? I mean, this is hindsight.
Well, I'm horrified over the fact that that my children may inherit the timeshare debt.
Yes, that's the part. At first you're thinking, oh, that'd be a great idea, but it's not.
We are the Travel Guys, and you are listening to our special show here where we're talking about condos and timeshares, and we're talking about those things. You're walking down the street, and the guy says, psst, over here, you can have a free helicopter ride.
You want a free round of golf.
and then just let us pull your fingernails and your toenails for a couple of hours with a bamboo sliver, and we'll make this all work for you.
Like, but we all did it. We all did it.
How smart of travel professionals. Well, Gwen and I mean, Tom is here on a pass, so I guess it's, you know, but it shows you that we're all vulnerable to these folks, and it's a buyer beware thing. And really and truly, you know, a number of years ago, Gwen and Tom, folks used to say, if you really wanted to buy electronics, you went to Best Buy and you looked at it and you tried it out, and then you went to Amazon and bought it. Now, Best Buy has kind of fixed that now recently, and their pricing is more in line, and they knew that was happening. But I'm going to suggest to folks who are thinking about buying a timeshare, go to one of the presentations, and without any possibility of buying, you are not buying anything. You're only going to do your homework. Perhaps you're going to a property that you might consider. And then once you've had that presentation and you've gone away, then you start doing your homework and see what you can really buy it for. And I think our next guest coming up is going to have some helpful hints on how you can buy a condo or timeshare on the secondary market.
Boy, this is a guy that I wish I had met some time ago before I invested in condos. Before you think about investing, keep it here. Be listening in 3.5 minutes as we continue on The Travel Guys. We're the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, got a special guest on the show today. We've talked a lot about condos and timeshares over the years. You've got one. I've got one. Sometimes not too often. We love them. The only time I love mine is when I'm actually there. And then in that time of the year when I have to pay my resort maintenance fees, I'm going, and why did I do this in the first place?
I think we probably, Tom, we probably have. There's probably folks listening to our program right now who can identify with where we are. I also own a timeshare. I bought a really inexpensive one thinking that, you know, buy the very bottom level and get most of the benefits that the people get for who paid more money. And it pretty much has turned out to be just a never-ending money pit, but at least it's a small money pit. So I really thought that we could do our listeners a great service by talking to them and trying to explain to them you can buy timeshares on the retail market, but you can also rent timeshares. And you can, if you really want to buy a timeshare, one of the places you might consider is the secondary market, the resale market, where you can perhaps buy a timeshare from somebody and minus the commission to the salesperson and a lot of other things and have a much better shot at getting a better deal. So the first gentleman we've asked to join us here is Jeff Weir. Jeff is a reporter and comes to us by way, Tom, through our friend Christopher Elliott. who also has some very strongly held opinions about timeshares and condo purchases. Jeff, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
So, Jeff, you are a reporter, and you write for a timeshare resale site called Red Week. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And, Jeff, explain to folks who might be listening, who maybe do already own a timeshare or who are thinking about one, what's the difference between what I was just referring to in terms of the retail market and the secondary market?
Well, the major chains that you're aware of, like Marriott and Disney and Starwood, they are still focused on selling at very high-end retail prices throughout the world. However, there is a glut of timeshares on the secondary market where people are aging and trying to sell. And as a result, there's many, many listings for timeshares all over the place in great resorts that are available on various resale sites, usually for 10 to 20% of what their original price was. And there are some resorts where there's so little interest in buying them because of the saturated inventory that the selling prices are under $1,000. So the market is there for people who want to buy.
Tom, I'm looking right now at the Red Week website, and I just for fun pulled up Maui.
Uh-huh.
And indeed, what Jeff says is true. I mean, there are, I'm seeing resales available here. One says $0 to $8,000. There's another one, $999 to $2,500. So indeed, these are folks who are just trying to get out from under the associated expenses, I'm guessing.
That's correct. The fees, particularly at the fancier resorts like Hawaii, might get up to $3,000 per year. And we have found that a lot of owners, as they get into their 70s and 80s, can't afford that annual fee anymore. So they become very desperate to find a way out.
And practically giving them away.
They try to, but frankly, there's an odd psychology in the resale market. When people see something listed for virtually nothing, they suspect that it's a scam. So most buyers are much more willing to pay a couple $1,000s thinking it's a legitimate transaction rather than take a risk of buying something for a dollar on eBay. I did not know that existed as a trend, but I found it out when I started working at Red Week and talking to people in the industry about the psychology of what people buy and sell in the resale market.
You know, Mark and Jeff, I'm looking at Red Week, and I'm thinking as a timeshare owner, I have some property in down near Disney World, and it's a Sheraton property. You know, I sometimes just don't look like it's going to be an opportunity for me to use it. So if I don't, you know, give it to my kids to use before it expires, perhaps Red Week might be a place where I could go and put it up for rent if I didn't know anybody locally. And is that what this Red Week is about, Jeff, a place for people to find those that might want to rent their timeshares or their condos, and then also a place where that you might be able to sell them?
It's both, but in a pragmatic look at today's snapshot of the industry, rentals are robust in the timeshare market. You can get great two-bedroom, two-bath accommodations in many places for less than you could get them on Travelocity, so there's or Expedia or some outfit like that. The resale market is flat to sagging because the inventory is so great, and that's why some of the pricing is low. There's one other issue, and that is that there are a lot of resorts of the there are approximately 1,500 to 1,600 timeshare resorts in the United States, and many of them are wonderful places and wonderful resorts, but there are a lot that are getting old and are not being maintained, and they may be in areas where they're not as popular as they once were. So rentals and resales at those aging legacy resorts are probably pretty poor. The activity level at Maui or some of the fancier resorts in Orlando, they still rent rapidly because people still love to go there. So the cautionary word for anyone interested in buying a timeshare is buy a timeshare in the secondary market in an area where you want to go. Do not buy one hoping you're going to use it to flip it for some other purpose. Buy one that you can get on the secondary market at a good price, meaning a very inexpensive price, and make sure it's a place you don't mind going. Because the downside of owning a timeshare, frequently for many people, is feeling that like they have to use it, they're stuck with it, they have to pay fees, and if they don't really enjoy going there, the whole thing's a disaster.
Jeff, let me ask you, if somebody is someone who's listening right now is saying, well, you know, I've been thinking about getting a timeshare, and I've been to one of those presentations, and it seemed to, you know, I'm interested. What would you tell them would be their first step?
Well, the real issue is going to a retail presentation put on and hosted by a major company is a fascinating experience that basically is like torture and having your nails pulled at the same time. It's the U.S. version of waterboarding for travelers. However,
he's right, though, Tom. He's right. Having been there, he's right.
It's a good learning experience. And by the way, I go to timeshare presentations a lot deliberately to see what the major companies are pitching so I can write about it.
I thought for sure you were going there so that you could get that three nights, 7 day Las Vegas vacation for sure.
I haven't got that yet. Some days they'll give me a kick in the butt and tell me to get out, but it doesn't matter. The reality is that there are ways to get into the timeshare industry easily, but people have to do their homework. And with the internet availability today, the timeshare industry is totally bollocksed up compared to where it was 20 years ago, because today people can do research and know exactly how much something should cost before they go to a timeshare presentation. And I'll give you an example. If you go to a resort in Hawaii, let's say a Marriott or a Starwood, and you get a presentation tour and you find out it'll only cost you $75,000 to buy a week, you can go on Red Week and find out it'll cost you $8,000 to buy the same unit.
Yeah,
so
it's pretty. It really is.
If someone doesn't use the internet to do their homework, they are their own worst enemy. So I think number one, research and self-education is mandatory. And then if you want to go through a retail presentation and have your eyeballs plucked out of your head by a sales team, you can do that. But at least you'll know the other side of the coin.
Wow. Jeff Weir, our guest. Jeff writes for a resale website called Red Week. We will have a link to it for those of you who are interested. I strongly suggest to you that if you are considering a condo or even thinking about renting one, go to this website and take a look around and get an idea of what the secondary market is. And if you ever go to a timeshare presentation, do not take your wallet, your checkbook, any credit cards, and tie your hands behind your back. Jeff, thank you so much for your time and for your expertise. You have given us some terrific wisdom.
You are more than welcome, and stay in touch.
Yes, we are the travel guys, but not necessarily sometimes the smartest guys. Mark, I tell you, you know, it's one of those things. Hindsight is 20/20 and all of that. You know, with all of the what we talked about with timeshares, condos, and all of that, and how easily persuaded. Have you ever kind of gone back and revisited that moment when you went to that, and you know, did you go in planning on, you know, I'm going to go buy this. I've already done my homework. I'm going to go in and buy this.
There was no possibility.
Yeah.
I told the salesman from the very beginning. I was there with a friend.
Right.
Told the salesman from the very beginning that there was absolutely no, I was not there to buy anything, and they completely ignored me. I mean, they ignored what I said to them and continued to press on. And it was only when we got to the end of the presentation and the guy, he brought the closer guy in and we reiterated our position. And then I just took the salesman aside and I said, I want to just ask you a question. You know, I mean, do you own one of these? And he said, well, yeah, sort of. And I said, what do you mean sort of? He says, well, you know, you can get in at the lowest level and every other year, and then you can get the discounted rates and stuff like that. And kind of what Gwen does.
Right.
You know, she moves around property to property. But as we've talked about, you know, fiscally, I don't think those numbers add up. So it really is. But yeah, I if I had it to do over again, I absolutely would not even have bought in on the lowest possible level to get the benefits. But
now,
that's because I'm in the travel industry.
Well, let me ask you this, Dud. Do you recall what the enticement was to sit down and look at it in the first place?
Yes, I do. It was a... Oh, I know what it was. It was a trip over to Molokai, and we were there for a scouting trip to figure out how we could ultimately. So they gave you your ferry ticket to Molokai, which is about $125 round trip.
Okay.
Deal. So it's about $250.
Well, we were in Florida. I was actually there on a Disney vacation. It was actually staying at the property that I eventually bought.
Oh, you were ripe.
I was. And we were there, and they had their, you know, it was a Sheraton property, and so they had their little kiosk in the lobby, and they called me over, and they had a sign, and it was offering some Universal Studios tickets, some super discounts off of our park tickets, which we hadn't purchased yet. There was a lot of value in it, and you know, a breakfast to go along with it which was inconsequential. But you know, we said, well, shoot, what's the risk? You know, what could possibly happen? Now we really loved the property. We were in a suite. We everything about it was beautiful. It's a great place. And we must have been there. We thought we were going to be there for an hour. We must have been there for a half a day. Mm. And we were also, we were sleep deprived, which doesn't help. You know,
it doesn't. And you point, that's a good point. If you're going to one of these timeshare things, you should not be hungry.
No, and you should not be sleep deprived. You
should not be sleepy.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you should be in, because otherwise you're going to be, I just want to get out of here. I just want to get something to eat, or I'm really tired. Just, you know, do whatever you need to do. Yeah, no, those are valid points. Tom, listen, the other valid point that you made, I thought, is that, you know, giving these to somebody does make a heck of a good gift. I mean, it does impress people, and it does carry some panache with it and stuff like that. But you know, if you went out and took the maintenance fees from 2 years along with the fee you paid for reservations and to move your points and to save your points and put that all that money all together, you probably could have gotten your daughter a wonderful hotel room for a week too.
Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, the ownership of a week, every other week, 2 weeks, whatever, has its ups and downs. Just don't pay premium price that you will have to pay if you go to one of these and you get suckered into buying it. You know, take the advice of Jeff and Mark and Tom. Check out
And Gwen.
And what was it? Red Week?
Redweek.com.
Redweek.com. You can find it at TravelGuysRadio.com. And look into it that way. Because really, if you can get it at a super discount and so forth, then I would say there's definitely some value in it.
If you spend a half an hour on that website as your first step towards buying a condominium, or timeshare, you will be so much better off. Because you're going to see the prices that they're selling for on the secondary market, and there is no way you're going to go in and be suckered into paying four or five times that for a product. And you're going to see what these are worth. It's kind of like a new car, Tom. Once you drive it off the lot, the value drops pretty dramatically.
Boy,
so,
it's worse than that.
It's buyer beware. You have shared some great wisdom, my friend.
Okay, final thoughts. What are you going to do with yours? And then I'll tell you what I'm going to do with mine.
Well, I just continue. I have no intention probably of ever staying at mine again. It's in Orlando. It's the second week of December, which is the worst week of the entire year before Christmas vacation. But I'll just continue to use the points to stay in other properties and try to break even on the deal, I guess.
Well, let's see. I will continue to call them up on a regular basis and beat them up over their over their maintenance fees, which will do me no good, but I'll get a certain amount of satisfaction in complaining. And I think I'm going to join the board of directors. That way, when I travel over and stay, I can discount it as a business expense. Otherwise, you know what? I just don't feel like I could sell it for $1,000. And the other thing is, the advice to anybody that has it, be sure you use it.
Yeah. Don't let it go to waste because you've paid for the whole thing all along the way. Some great wisdom, my friend. That last little tidbit there might have been the very best piece of wisdom of all. All right. We are the Travel Guys. When we come back after the break, we're going to have the winner of the Sports Leisure Travel Card, Save the Best for Last, and another few goodies for you. We're the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Chewing on a piece of grass. Walking down the road.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman here. Tom Romano is out on the road in San Antonio today. Thank you for coming along with us for about six more minutes here. We are
traveling. Let's see. What else? What do we got to do here? I have a winner, a Sports Leisure Vacations winner. By the way, the Travel Guys are brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And we give away a travel card each week to someone who has traveled with Sports Leisure in the previous couple of weeks. This week, our winner is Jan Applegate. And Jan, since we had two winners last week, I won't go into great detail. We had two potential winners, one called in. So this week, this jackpot will be worth $200. So Jan Applegate, who went with us to see Phantom of the Opera just a couple of weeks ago, if you call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday before closing time, you will receive a travel gift card worth $200. Everyone who travels on a Sports Leisure trip is eligible for that drawing just by listening in. If you're a friend of Jan's, why call her and tell her you heard her name on the radio so she'll make sure and claim her prize. Hey, a quick reminder to folks out there. As Dina mentioned in the newscast, over 700 DUI arrests. That might be a clue that this is a bad weekend to have a couple of beers, drinks, whatever, and get into the car when the Highway Patrol is doing maximum enforcement. That means they're like really serious. So don't get a DUI and don't put everybody else in danger. Stay off the road if you've been drinking this weekend. All right, before we get to save the best for last, Frontier Airlines, this is a thing from Chris Elliott's website. Chris has a terrific website. It's just Elliott.com, E-L-L-I-O-T-T, or actually .org, I'm sorry, Elliott.org. Chris writes, of course, for the Sacramento Bee, a column in the travel section every Sunday. And this was an article that he posted on his website a couple of days ago. Frontier Airlines apparently did a thing, and Frontier does not serve Sacramento currently, nor does Spirit Airlines, which is really a blessing for all of you. But the Frontier apparently is offering dollar airfares for sites for flights from Denver, Atlanta, Chicago, Cleveland, Philadelphia, Trenton, and Washington, D.C. to six U.S. cities, including Vegas, Austin, Atlanta, Houston, Miami, and Greensboro. $1 ticket. So that sounds like a pretty good deal. You got a family of four. You can fly round trip for $4. Well, except that if you have baggage, then that's going to be a bit of a problem. If you have a baggage and you have each of the four of you has a checked bag, that's reasonable. Each of the four of you has a carry-on bag. Ever taken kids on a trip? So that jumps your $4 ticket is now up to $440 for four people. And so pretty soon, your $4 ticket is now $440, but wait a minute, you don't have seating assignments yet. So if you want a reserve seat, now you're traveling as a family of four, there's probably a possibility you'd probably like to sit together. So then that's going to cost you another $40 each way. So now you're up to $520. Wait a minute, what happened to the $4 round trip tickets? So all I can just say to you, I heard a lady yesterday, I was at Holloway Travel Outfitters. By the way, John is getting ready to open his new store in a couple weeks over on Howe Avenue. He's been on Fulton Avenue for a lot of years, and I was in yesterday talking to John. We're going to do a live broadcast over there soon. And once he gets the store opened up, and we were kind of talking about things, and I overheard while I was waiting for John a conversation between a lady. She was saying, yeah, I found this really great airfare on this new airline called WOW, and they fly to Iceland, and you can lay over in Reykjavik, and then you can go on to Europe, and it's only like $400 for the whole round trip. And then she says, but of course you have to pay for luggage and everything. And I was just standing there thinking, please don't buy tickets on that airline. Please, folks, if you're thinking about buying tickets on one of these guys that's a charter carrier or one of these super cut rate airfare things, just do your homework ahead of time and compare what the real airfare will be at the end of the day. And also consider the possibility that if you're going at a time when the weather is inclement or something like that, you may have other issues involved also. So just a buyer beware thing. TravelGuysRadio.com is where you can find lots of exciting things, things we've talked about on the show today. A list of timeshares and travel clubs, how to avoid a scam, how to avoid a long wait at the rental car counter, all kinds of cool things. So TravelGuysRadio.com, also podcasts from every single Travel Guys show. Now, save the best for last. This is a quick Southwest story. This gentleman has a library book, a physical library book. He's on a flight from Indianapolis to Dallas, the first leg of his Caribbean vacation, and so he's catching up on his reading. He leaves the book on the airplane, unfortunately. Of course, with Southwest, there's no way to figure out where the guy's set because Southwest doesn't have assigned seating. He doesn't have a boarding pass, says where he's set. So the book is gone, he thinks. And he thinks, well, you know, I'm going to have to pay for this book. So he contacts the library and he's looking at different options to see what he has to do to pay for it. And he happens to look in his library account. This is a week or so afterwards. And he finds that the book has been returned. someone from Southwest Airlines got the book, returned it to the library. At the end of a long day, somebody took the time to be kind to a traveler and took that book and sent it back to the library, and he'll never know who did it. Just a kind person out there. That's saving the best for last. I'm Mark Hoffman. We are the Travel Guys. Thank you for coming along with us. Tom Romano will be back next week. I'll be on the road. Tom will have a special Travel Guys entertainment show for you. We are the Travel Guys every Sunday at 3 right here on KFBK.